Susan St. John is an economist and is a spokesperson for Child Poverty Action Group. She is from the Faculty of Business and Economics at Auckland University, but for a long time has spoken on behalf of our most vulnerable in our community. Those are our tamariki, who are forced to live many in abject poverty. That's the reality, as recessionary impacts bite, and mums, dads struggle sometimes to find the mahi needed to fuel the whānau, i.e. to put food on the table. Two reports were released at Rōpōtaka Marae last week, which is said to provide evidence that the Whānau Order Commissioning Agency program, Ngātini Whea 2, is reversing the child poverty curve. It is a big statement, and with us to reflect on it is Susan St. John. Thanks for joining us, Susan. Tēnā koe.
Morena.
Kia ora. We know that sometimes organisations have an obligation to talk up the success of their programs, but we need sort of hard data to back up claims from time to time. Can you share some kōrero about Ngātini Whetū and the suggestion that is addressing the child poverty curve? It could be a harbouring of what's to come in the future, but first we need to know that it is as successful as what those who are operating the programs are suggesting. They call it an extensive blueprint to reduce child poverty in Aotearoa. Is that how it reads to you as well, Susan?
Well, of course, I've just had a quick look at it because it only came out yesterday, and I'm certainly not the expert on it. But my impression is that it is something that should be read very widely, and it does challenge the view that child poverty is simply the norm for many communities in whānau, and that's just the end of it. And it takes that te Māori approach where it's waura and restoring mana that's important. It's not just about material things, and I think that's a very good perspective for us to have. So particularly reflecting that more money is essential, but it's not enough. There has to be all this wraparound work as well to restore communities.
Does that suit your academic style? I mean, economics is normally pretty cut and dry, looking at balance sheets, profit and loss, but there are other mitigating factors that need to be put into this as well, because we're looking at the overall health and welfare and well-being of our tamariki. Hard to just describe it on a balance sheet, Susan?
Well, look, I personally would empathise with that more holistic view than a pure economics one. I guess we are guilty sometimes of getting quite focused on just that financial aspect of child poverty and measuring it only with income measures, for example, or hardship measures, but not the wider view. So I think this is really, really important because we have an intractable problem of child poverty, and we've got to try as many different approaches as we can. But I would also take from the report that it does stress the need for financial security. So it's not like that doesn't matter. And I also take from the report that often the problem is the inability to access what is available, that it's so complex and the institutions are so formidable that whānau simply don't get what they should be getting. So one of the messages that I take out of this is that there is a need for simplification.
Simplification and navigation. Sadly, negotiating your way through government departments and to therefore receive all that you are entitled to, you're up against a culture that would rather keep people at bay than necessarily accessing all of their entitlements. And it can be a real minefield, can't it, Susan, for families?
Well, look, I've spent most of my life immersed in this world of trying to understand all these complexities and interactions, and we've just been modelling the welfare state in a complex spreadsheet model. And look, it's extremely difficult for everybody, but it's particularly difficult if it's an alien culture. I can absolutely understand that. And we do have to look at ways in which we can simplify. For example, why should we have two different forms of tax credit for children, for the support of children? Why can't we just have one? And why do we have to call it a tax credit? And why do we have to call working for families working for families? And why do we have to put paid work of a certain kind, reflecting probably European values? Why does that have to be at the centre? It doesn't have to be.
Sadly, sometimes it can be so many judder bars to cross or hoops to jump through that it could discourage those from seeking further assistance. And these are entrenched practices within the welfare system that have been useful tools to keep the masses at bay, so to speak. Do you think there's an opportunity to use the program as some sort of leverage for more interagency programs, Susan?
Well, I would hope that it would be influential, and I would hope that it is going to be read widely within the institutional sector, and I hope that there will be more dialogue around how it could be utilised in the future, because this is, as I understand it, just a pilot. There are 800 whānau involved. It would be a great pity if that's where it stops. And we've got a lot of history of pilot programs that look as if they're successful and then they come to an end. So it's really important to keep it on the agenda.
I have great respect for the work of the Child Poverty Action Group, you know, people like yourself, well-meaning, and recognising the very real hardships that exist in our communities. And I touched on the effect of a whānau order navigator to try and help those who are unfamiliar sort of sort through the mire and trying to get the resources needed to uplift the prospects of our tamariki across the board. Do you think it's time for a Māori-focused organisation not dissimilar to the work of Child Action Poverty Group, where post-settlement iwi, for instance, might nominate a navigator that can stand beside whānau and rather than witness the frustration that is the day-to-day reality, knows the lay of the land, knows the people to contact on behalf of whānau and can assist them to get what they are due?
That would be wonderful. It really would. And it's desperately needed because we see the gaps between what people are entitled to and what they need to spend just to have a very basic standard of living. But they're not necessarily getting everything they're entitled to anyway. And so certainly having a navigator would be hugely helpful for whānau. But of course we need to work on the other side, which is that terrible complexity of policies. It doesn't have to be that way.
Obviously, it's budget week, and after all of we've witnessed here and spends that were unexpected as a result of cyclonic recovery, it seems that it's not the greatest week for our kids and for those on low incomes. What are you hoping to see for tamariki in the budget this week yourself, Susan?
Well, I'm hoping to see an announcement of a complete overhaul of working for families for a start. However, maybe that's a bit of a pipe dream, given all the difficult circumstances that the government finds itself in. But it is extremely worrying. And we had the Auckland City Missioner talking on the weekend on Q&A about how desperate the situation is as she sees it at the Auckland City Mission. And that we simply have to be able to feed our people. And at the moment, there are thousands who do not have enough food. That is unacceptable in a country that's a food-producing nation. You know, we've got to prioritise that, and that's what I would like to see, some understanding in the budget of just how bad things are.
Thank you. And again, can I just take my hat off to the work you've been doing for many years, Susan, and those involved with Child Poverty Action Group. I have great respect for the mahi that that you continue to do and the advocacy you provide. Thanks very much for sharing some kōrero with us again, sister.
Thank you, Dale, and for your work.
Kia ora. Tēnā koe.
Bye.
Susan St. John's an economist, but as you can sense, the gentle way that she talks about economics, she's a very fair-minded person with a strong social conscience.